a show where Mark, myself, and Bobble Rob get together once a week to.
Unless it's Mark, I'm the world famous Mark Bernay.
Where we all
please
get
to be respectful.
We all, how could you forget that?
I didn't. I was gonna get there because I figured we'd get there at some point. Okay. We all get together to talk about tech and astronomy.
And push the bullshit button
when we call
bullshit. Which ironically
bullshit.
Is bullshit. Right. Because you have to turn it over after pressing it to hear it.
Right.
So it's depressing bullshit.
That's funny. So we get together to talk about tech and hang out and invite you to join us and we eat food. I would like to say it's educational, something that where you can where you can actually listen and hear some of the stuff that we're talking about and learn something, but
Trying to talk about.
But I think in reality, it's more like hanging out with a bunch of friends,
nerds,
and I think that's probably why you listen to the show in the first place.
Because you're nerds.
If you do,
if you
why
do.
Are you, why are you talking to people who don't exist? What?
I know.
You have might any of you ever kissed a woman?
Yeah.
On the lips,
Jimmy. You ever seen
get a life.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
I'm not from outer space. I'm from Iowa. I just work in space.
We've got some awesome stories to talk about. And Bobble Rob, welcome back. It's been a while. What the hell?
I was detained.
Thanks, man. I'm really happy that you were able to come back and be a part of the show.
I'm really happy that I have a job that lets me, after I work that job, and get off at 5 o'clock...
Yeah.
Drive an enormous amount of distance and still get back home.
True.
Probably around the same time I would have gotten home working at the other job.
Okay. Yay. Okay. Working at this job or the other job?
The one in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, tell your significant other that we appreciate it too, and she
appreciates it too because I'm out of the house.
So Mark's scurrying through his Nexus 7 trying to find interesting articles.
I'm just looking at one specific thing that I could not have done earlier.
Oh, that's
right. It's just a new announcement.
Okay.
Samsung has announced the Galaxy S4 today.
Yeah.
Which is successor to the Galaxy S3.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Anyway, it just happened like an hour ago. That's why I had to look at the news.
And there were all kinds of rumors and speculations about what it would be like
and
up until this point.
Apparently, it kicks... Major ass.
Right.
Well, it'll also mean the Galaxy S3, which is a really nice phone. It'll, like Mark was saying earlier, it'll probably drop in price.
Right.
I sure as hell hope so. Because I would really like one.
Yeah, I like the Note 2.
Well, the S4 is bigger. It's 5 inches.
Than the Note 2?
I think. No, it's not bigger than the Note 2, but it's bigger than the S3, so it might be big enough for you.
Huh. That'd be kind of cool.
If you can get one cheap. But...
All right.
No, see, Wes's problem is that he has a... He's grandfathered into an unlimited Verizon plan where he can't get a new phone from Verizon at a discount. He has to pay full price for whatever phone he gets.
Right. That's just one of my problems.
Yeah. That's your only problem in all of life.
That's the only problem I ever had.
Yes.
Really? I've got a list.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway...
It's even notarized.
Nice.
So what you should do is get a used S3 at this point. I bet they'll go pretty cheap.
No, my son, what you should do is go west.
Right.
Isn't that a group, in 90s rock band?
Yeah.
I think...
I'm really old and stupid now. I don't know even what I just
think,
said.
I think I would like to try to see if I can get a Note 2.
Okay.
I don't want to pay $600.
Right.
I don't know. Anybody have any suggestions? Go to www.slurpcast.com. And
if you'd like to have your questions unanswered.
Well, no. If you'd like to pretend that you are spam, go to www.slurpcast.
Because all comments on there are spam pretty
They're
much.
They're all fake. Yeah. They're not real people.
We're actually broadcasting from South by Southwest.
Oh, where are we, by the way?
The Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Where are we?
We're in the wonderful Emeryville food court.
Right.
Near the very, very cold end. Because we're trying to stay away from the screeching children who play in the balls of death.
Yeah, we actually care so much about our audience that we're really willing to relocate to a special place over here in the corner where they haven't cleaned in several years.
Right.
And it's near the door that's really windy.
Yeah.
And free Wi-Fi.
And I'm sitting here looking at a very large television screen trying to avoid looking at the action that's going on, but it's very distracting. So let's get into stories.
Okay.
I got stories.
Besides this,
believe me.
Galaxy S4, is it going to be on every single carrier like the Galaxy S3?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
Probably the same ones they already have.
Right.
is that phone carried on T-Mobile yet?
I think they had the S3. I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
And since T-Mobile and MetroPCS have just been approved for merging,
okay,
right.
maybe
right.
even MetroPCS.
Now, what's going on with the T-Mobile and MetroPCS merger in terms of...
It was just approved, I believe.
It was approved recently?
Yes.
I know that that was the plan, and it went public, that they were going to do that. But I guess they had to get, I don't know if it's FCC or SEC approval.
Right.
SEC approval is
they
what
they probably need more than one. They probably need several approvals or something like that.
Okay.
Well, I don't remember the exact article. I just saw the headline.
Okay.
Mark Brunet is referring to a friend of ours.
To the regular government. Yeah.
Al Brunet.
Right.
Yeah. So,
a friend or a relative?
No friend.
Both.
Yeah.
A relative friend. So, Baba Rob likes to cover a different kind of topic. He likes to get into...
Space.
There you go.
Let's see. What have I got space related?
Right.
Well, apparently, for your curiosity's sake...
And we're not talking this...
The Curiosity rover.
Right. We're not talking about that.
After it... Dug into the ground a little bit and pulled out a sample of soil.
Of soil?
NASA has determined that Mars was possibly able to be hospitable to life as we know it.
Okay.
I claim NASA always says that just to get more funding because it gets them more exciting.
Well, you're a sarcastic bastard, then.
Right. It's absolutely... Because the Bible
you might
tells
be
us,
right, though.
The Bible tells us that God created the earth
Did
with
Bible
life.
Did Bible actually speak to you? Were there, like, hot lips and they're going... Hey,
yeah.
Mark.
There's nothing
don't
on Mars.
Don't believe the NASA
There's nothing
people.
On Mars, yeah.
They're nothing but evil
They're
bastards.
They're just doing it for funding,
They're
yeah.
just trying to take your tax dollars away from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. I like that.
I don't know if that's the accent that I was
I think
know,
that's.
Right
I think that's
guessing.
Exactly the accent that they used.
Right.
This is the voice of God.
Yeah.
This is
but
the
night. By the way,
God's Jewish, you know.
Pick up your socks off the floor.
I mean, that's like know. A New York 1950 actor.
Part Bronx, though, I think.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right.
Maybe God was from the Bronx, you know. Because Mitt Romney believes that the Garden of Eden was in Missouri, so...
Not just Mitt Romney.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
Millions of other people.
Yes, I know.
That's pretty scary, though.
Yeah. Well,
but
why?
It has apparently to be millions of people think that Fox... News is not an oxymoron.
Right. No, but why is that scary? Why is that any more weird than the official stories?
I think both of us are asking the wrong people that
right.
question.
Right. I think all religious stories are...
Jenny Beeper in here. I'll need a ladder to climb out.
See, I wish this just said bullshit, and I could press right. it three times and go bullshit,
That's
bullshit,
why
bullshit.
It's ironic that yeah. the bullshit button is bullshit.
Yeah.
So...
More space stories?
No, my story is that Reuters, I got this off of Gizmodo, Reuters employee exposed as alleged anonymous agent. So, first of all, that's an oxymoron, right? Because Reuters
Does he wear
employee,
the mask?
Reuters employee exposed as alleged. What?
Huh. I know, that's true.
He's exposed as possibly an anonymous agent.
Right.
And they've got pictures of him. I thought I'd throw this one up here on the
slipcast. That's the one where he gave passwords for...
Yeah.
He once worked for a news agency, and he gave them passwords for it or something
right,
like that.
Right, so I'll read quickly. Yeah. Matthew Keyes, one of Reuters News top social media managers, is facing potentially serious prison time after federal accusations that he's a member of Anonymous. According to the DOJ, Keyes tried to help hackers deface the Tribune Company news sites. So that's all I got. He doesn't look like a kind of guy who would do any kind of damage.
Nah.
Is it an anonymous picture?
No, not even an anonymous picture.
He was such a nice neighbor. I have no idea why he would do such a thing.
Such a nice guy. He worked for that
he always waved to me.
I mean, he looked very nice. He looked clean.
Right. His mother?
Yes.
Oh, what a proper woman.
But his sister, oh my goodness, his sister was horrible.
Never wore white after Labor Day.
Oh, jeez.
And he looked exactly like his mother, like he... If you put on a dress, you imagine that's what his mother looked like.
Maybe you would.
No, because he killed his mother and he's...
Really?
Because the movie...
What?
This is alleged anonymous. Right. I think you're talking about somebody else.
Wait, who are you...
No, Norman Bates.
Oh, Norman Bates, I see.
That's going to be a TV show, you know.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought
it
was already a Hitchcock film.
I know, but there's a TV series coming out about the childhood of Norman Bates, how he ended up that way.
Okay.
It's starring Mark Brunet.
The name of the TV show is called Bates Hotel. Beats Motel.
The Beats Hotel? Dr.
No,
Dre.
No, Beats Motel.
Oh.
Oh, Beats Motel. That's right, yeah. Okay.
Take a phone call.
Okay.
The Beats Motel is where Bubba Rob is disappearing.
Bubba Rob is leaving. He's got to take a phone call.
The Beats Motel is where Dr. Dre invented his stuff.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Actually, Beats had very little to do with Dr. Dre other than him signing his name on the line.
And then
in the actual agreement, being very slick because the guys that work for him are good, and saying that at some point they would take over the full ownership of the product line, even though Monster invented it and sort of the people behind Monster came up with the whole idea.
So do you think he's really going to do... He really will take over someday, or that was just
He actually won. I think he owns the whole Beat label now and the whole all the Beat... product line. So, Baba Rob is back.
Reports of my demise were probably hoped for, but incorrect.
Nice. On that note of the Beats thing that we were just talking about, we were talking about how the fact that Dr. Dre had very little to do with the whole Beats product line, and that it was more or less Monster coming up, Monster's marketing team and Monster's people coming up with the idea behind it as a way to increase their profit and their
it seems to have worked,
and they did a very good job. Except they didn't. They in the agreement, Dre and his guys slipped some verbiage in that said at some point we'll take over and start selling under our own name for our own profit. Everything that you've been doing for us.
Oops.
Well, I assume they didn't slip that in. I'm sure the lawyers on both sides understood that.
Yeah, and probably Monster was okay with that, figuring they could do what they're doing now, which is. Just go to another artist who's famous and continue producing headphones.
He might have had to buy them out for millions of dollars or something.
Yeah, it's probably
so. Does Dre spell Moriarty?
No.
So, science, graphene headphones can beat your fancy cans.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a whole thing. There's a bunch of articles out this week about how graphene used to make headphones is an amazing experience.
Just as the diaphragm for the sound thing?
Yeah, as the actual material.
Is there anything that carbon nanotubes flattened out can't do?
A pair of researchers from Berkeley just made them obsolete, whatever headphones you purchased recently, with some graphene. Conventional gear needs an oscillator that has to be damped down to produce constant sound between 20 hertz and 20 kilohertz. Graphene, on the other hand, can be tailored to do the same job without any complicated and power draining over engineering. So,
is it like a one molecule thick sheet of it, or do you know?
I believe so. Yeah,
because they can make one molecule thick sheets of graphene, apparently.
Okay.
Actually, in a related story, if you're done,
yes.
Someone was telling me that at UCLA. They've figured out a way to use graphene to make either supercapacitors or super batteries for electric cars and other applications.
Yeah.
Okay. And since I have an electric car, I'm like, yeehaw, how many more decades do I have to wait until this comes to market?
Will I
still be alive?
There will be a revolution in recharging batteries at some point. Fingers crossed.
I think they're going to have to recharge people first. Because they'll all be dead waiting for electric batteries.
You could plug your body into the car to recharge the battery. And then you'd be, like, exhausted.
How about when you plug your car in for the 3-hour charge, you plug yourself into a stasis machine that puts you to sleep for 3 hours, so it'll feel instantaneously to you?
I think it's called coffee.
No, the opposite of coffee? No, the opposite.
Coffin?
Oh, coffin, yeah. No, just a suspended animation while you're waiting for your car to charge.
Speaking of suspended animation, when is Finding Nemo 2 coming out?
Why do we care?
I think I've seen previews.
Because Ellen wants to be in it?
Yeah. Oh, degenerate?
I think I've seen previews.
Be generous, degenerous.
Actually, no. What's
coming? Do not denigrate Ellen.
No, what's coming out, or maybe already was out, is Finding Nemo, the 3D version of it.
That's not the same as 2.
Right, but I'm just trying to think what previews I've seen recently,
They're making virtually Cars 3. They're making planes. Have you seen the episode?
No, I haven't.
Cars 3 was really stupid.
They didn't have Cars 3 yet.
Wasn't Cars based?
No, they had
Cars 2.
Maybe that's not the one that was really stupid?
Wasn't Cars...
The latest one that was after Steve Jobs died is just really stupid, I think.
Oh.
But because he died, it's stupid?
Yes. Because he kind of had quality control over it and kept it...
That's probably true, actually. Yeah. For as much as we're laughing about it, he probably did like...
So do you blame the stock slide on Steve Jobs' corpse?
It's about time.
He actually, he actually probably brought people into his office and beat the living you-know-what out of them for little things that you and I would consider to be stupid. Right. Like the stripes on like Finding Nemo's, you know,
right?
Like they're not like they're too aligned perfectly. So he like beat the
I think we've just fallen off the flat Earth that you guys still believe in.
No, the problem with the Cars thing, the latest Cars movie, it's not details like that. Just this, the whole story was kind of stupid.
Oh, really?
It wasn't details.
I would agree that the story wasn't as good as the first one. And if you had any oversight in such things, then you're probably right.
Didn't Cars? Didn't the Cars creatures, characters here, I'm totally going to like fail miserably here, but the Cars characters themselves, weren't they modeled after the ones that Chevron used to sell at the gas station?
I don't know
if
that's true, but they looked very much like them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought there was some kind of connection or correlation between the two.
Well, the ultimate correlation is that the oil companies are the evil behind everything.
Well, yeah.
And these were designed to make your kids buy cars so that they would waste their money on fossil fuels and further exacerbate carbon pollution.
So as an adult,
and thus
I'm looking at getting an electric car, but as the media industry and OPEC is concerned, we're going to go ahead and get your kids to want to have cars.
Right. That talk.
So they basically force you to
go and
buy...
No, but electric car is
fossil
powered
fuel burning.
By fossil fuel burning electricity.
Right. That's the other thing that
people
don't think
about. That
is not
true in this area, at least in my area.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Be careful what you say.
I have solar panels on my house.
Oh, that's true.
But you don't charge your car.
In the area where I live,
yeah,
all the electricity comes from geysers.
Okay.
So wiser geysers.
Geysers?
Right.
You weren't very wiser about that.
Right.
I see.
Using the steam or just
sarcastic bastard.
But just using the heat of them or what?
Yes.
But they're cooling down the earth. We're all going to die because you're cooling the earth down unnaturally.
Apparently, with the amount of hot air that you're generating, you're keeping up.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
On to more useless information.
Yay. Are you enjoying yourself, you fellow listener, you?
Yes, I am. Oh, I thought you meant
no,
people.
I meant the people listening.
People listening. Have you ever kissed a girl?
So I'm a little afraid of this one next story, which is that all of us, or generally a large group of us, gather our stories for our podcasts by actually...
flipping coins and typing on typewriters.
Grabbing data from
RSS. We hire monkeys to type on typewriters.
Hire monkeys. If anything, we're the lower monkeys, okay?
And the monkeys aren't high enough, we give them drugs.
That's not nice to high monkeys.
Anyway. Oh, God, what am I talking about? Anyway. We get them from RSS feeds. So we basically...
Not me.
We go to Google. We use Google Reader. We go in there and we throw in the links to RSS XML feeds.
Or missing links.
Automatically in the background, in real time, Google automatically grabs those articles and stores them there for us to pull down.
But grabs them appropriately.
Yes. Right. In a non-groping fashion.
Right.
So we have clients that log into Google and show us and display all of the articles in the most recent feeds that we have subscribed to in Google Reader. But Google has announced that they are now shutting it down.
Right.
Yes. Google Reader is no more.
And even Adolf Hitler got all upset about it.
Really?
Yeah, I could post a video about Adolf Hitler getting really pissed off and banging on the table about how dare Google do this thing.
Is Google somehow related to the way Fox cancels science fiction shows?
Maybe.
No. Enlighten
it
me.
Seems like the same kind of pattern.
Oh.
Here's this great thing.
True.
Oh, that's we're not going to support it anymore.
Right. That's true.
Well, apparently Google only wants to deal with things that a billion people could use. And they don't think a billion people would ever understand RSS feeds and want to use them.
I think I have to agree with Steve Jobs on this point.
Yeah.
Google saying that they won't do any evil.
Right.
Not so true.
Right.
Yeah, so I got this off of KGO.
Or at least not true always.
KGO Beer.
No, but they were giving it away free for years. Now they want to stop giving away free.
I'm not saying that this in this particular case, but...
Right.
A lot of the articles that they have on their news webpage come from sources that are...
Everybody put on your helmets. Bullshit is being plugged. Right.
I think you get the meaning.
Yeah.
I got this from KGO Bay Area News. In an attempt to streamline its services, Google announced Wednesday that it is shutting down its popular Google Reader feature.
To spend more time with its family.
Right. Google Reader allowed users to pull content feeds from a variety of websites into a single inbox. It was launched in 2005 and has a loyal following, but according to Google, usage has declined. There is fact in this. Google Reader will shut down on July 1st. Most of the time, the general public does not understand what an RSS feed is.
Right.
It just is simply a feature of a lot of web frameworks that handle news articles and blogs that people use to create and talk and basically post stories and postings on their blog or their website. It's an additional feature that's there, and anybody who knows about RSS feeds can subscribe to that XML file.
In some reader of some kind.
In some client that can pull down the latest article that's in the XML
feed. Yes, it doesn't have to be Google Reader itself,
right.
But they're one of the main ones people tended to use.
But Google offered this service as a way to grab all of the RSS feeds and place them in one central location.
Right.
So you could add all of these RSS feeds from your favorite blogs and store them on Google Reader. And then whenever you go to Google Reader's website, the latest articles will all be there without you having to actually re-download them and waste a lot of time.
I think the main problem I have with Google's behavior with a lot of the cool technologies that they've come out with is not really Google's fault. It's just that they stick it out there and then they pull it back.
Yeah.
If they just left it out there for other people to further.
Well, let me see if I can translate this into simple terms. Mm-hmm. Let's say you want to go.
Bastard,
let's say you want to have massive sex. Yeah. So your way of going about this is that you go to a disco. And you meet chicks at the disco.
No, that doesn't happen.
In the hopes that you're going to actually have sex.
I lost all hope a long time ago.
I don't think you're meeting chickens. I think you're meeting women.
Yeah, women, females. In the hopes that you're going to actually... Well, it could be males, too, depending on whatever your interests are. But the goal is you're going to actually copulate, right?
So you're human beings, not chickens.
Or actually practice copulating. So you go to this disco, and you're like hanging out with the disco ball, and you eventually find somebody who's attractive, and you go home, and you bang like mad rabbits. And you reach your goal.
What places are you going, man?
Well, this is kind of like Google Reader, right? You're going there with the goal of having like massive sex. So, but Google's saying is we're taking the Google Reader or the disco away from you.
Right. I want it back.
But the goal is still there. You still need to have your massive sex. So what that means is you have to actually like go meet people in other places.
Speak for yourself, cowboy.
To continue to have massive sex.
Right.
Which can be done. It just means you have to have a black book now, and you have to write down all the different, like, you know, RSS feeds in that book for you to have your massive sex.
Oh, suddenly the book is black because it's massive.
Well, it could
great.
Be. You get my point. My point is...
I'm trying not to get it. That's why I'm running away
from
you.
You just don't have that centralized location where you can store all of your...
You're not
putting
anything into my central location.
All right.
No, but the other... To me, and I wonder whether Google's even considering this...
Yeah.
I never go to the actual Google Reader website, at least very rarely.
Okay, right.
I mainly use other apps that you do an API into Google to see which articles it has waiting.
Uh-huh.
Then the app brings it down and displays it to me on an iPhone or on an Android device or whatever.
Right.
So I wonder whether Google is considering the statistics of all those API calls when they say no one's using it.
It sounds like they're not. It sounds like they're not considering that.
Maybe they forgot about that and only looking at the website usage.
Right.
Or maybe they don't care. Maybe if you don't go to the website to see the ads they put on the website, maybe they don't care.
I think in overall bigger terms, I think people just don't know how to use it. Probably don't subscribe other than to use the Google Reader search capabilities to search for topics of interest.
If they even know about that.
If they even know about that. And I think probably we're just sort of the rarities out there. Either way, we still have the ability to subscribe to the direct feeds themselves.
But, the only reason I even care is that I like the coordination where the Google product would coordinate all my apps together.
I still don't understand how this is connected to Studio 54.
Well, there are some apps out there that do a good job of synchronizing directly with the RSS feeds.
Oh, sure.
So we don't necessarily need Google Reader.
But you have to buy the same brand of app on every platform, though?
True.
But that's what you're saying?
Boring.
No, not necessarily. I mean, just because the apps are written... Sorry. We're putting people to sleep. But because the apps are different doesn't mean they can't handle the RSS feeds directly.
No, if they handle it directly, they don't know what you've already read on the other device.
Right, that's true.
Each one would have its own list.
Okay.
That's their problem.
Well, then the ultimate... of course, the only other answer to this problem is Feedly.
Yeah. Also, there have always been independent ones that exist for different platforms that claim that they would synchronize themselves on different platforms. So there are other choices, I know. But
I think having children
just say
out of wedlock,
no to Google's next thing that they're going to pull back as soon as you become dependent on it.
Right. See, Google Voice, I'm really dependent on Google Voice much more than the RSS feed.
Well, I'm just worried of becoming dependent on anything that Google has put out because you never know when the rug's coming out.
Right.
From under you.
Right.
Didn't mean I was going to put a toupee on.
I like
because I don't have the money to pay for a toupee.
You lost me at put out, and that's when like it cut off.
I don't put out.
That's like the rest of whatever you said after that. I wasn't paying attention to.
Boogie nights.
Dan 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 dan. Sorry.
So I have other Google stories. You know, the Google Glass is very popular, and it's starting. I very popular. People talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to come out to the public.
Okay.
But there's one bar that's already banned it. One bar has already banned anybody from walking into the bar with wearing Google Glass.
Why would they?
Because
it's in Seattle, and they're worried about privacy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of late, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. What? Well, so what's the problem, though? Are they afraid people are going to like look people up on the Google?
Yeah, well, I mean, you take pictures, surf pictures.
Oh, I see.
And all that
okay,
stuff.
Yeah.
You kind of could anyway.
You
but
can't
this
do that right now. I mean, you can do that publicly, and it's legal.
But at least it would be pretty obvious you're pulling your phone out and taking pictures. But the glass is just always a camera. It's just a camera that's always outside, always ready to take pictures.
Right, but don't you have to tell Google Glass very loudly to take a picture?
No, you can press things.
Oh, okay.
There's a secret way to that. I'll post a funny video on...
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I can't hear myself think, much less you think.
Right.
Google, I know it's Seattle, and I know it's illegal to take a picture, but do it anyway.
Right. I'll post a funny video about how guys will use Google Glass.
That's right. And, I've seen that video.
And you'll see why.
Just guys?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because women would not do this.
It's really?
Women are not going to do this.
Really?
Women would never do what this video shows.
You're right.
Women are not going to do this. Right. After you see this video, you'll be like, yeah, okay, yeah, women don't do this.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not going to watch it.
There will always
I'm
be exceptions to the rules.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Ukrainian attack dolphins are on the loose.
What?
You might have seen this story on the internet, and you are very correct. It is bullshit.
Yeah.
As the person who originally posted the article, the Slashdot, has updated his article, while there really are militarized dolphins in use around the world, this particular story turns out to be an elaborate prank.
Right.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
With lasers on their heads. Lasers.
Zers?
The Zogs.
Isn't that the one that has the guns attached to their fins or something?
Yeah,
like that?
That's what. Hey, you remember Zog's Dogs in the city?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it was a good place.
Yeah.
Sort of science related, at least electric car related.
I got one that's not any of those things.
Then go ahead.
These earbuds will make it look like a pencil sticking through your brain. Somebody was wise and designed earbuds to have the end points of a pencil. On either side. So, like, the left earbud has the eraser.
I get the idea.
And the right earbud has the pencil.
Arrows through the head out of coat hangers.
Right.
So, it looks hilarious.
When I was 11.
Really?
Well, have you seen the earbuds that
look
like ears?
That is why this was attractive to me, because I still am 11.
Have you seen the one that looks like little ears?
No.
You plug in your ear, and there's a big ear sitting outside the little ear.
I think that's great.
I think it's sad that people are making money on this, and I'm not.
Yeah, somebody probably is like, you know, that paid for not only their vacation, but their life expenses for the next couple of years.
Right.
How come I can't invent the next pet rock?
Well, you can.
Yeah.
Or Chia Pet.
You can.
Or start the next whatever style.
I think the secret is just doing it. I think the secret is just doing it. That's my issue is that I don't do it enough.
And I will never win because I am lazy.
That's kind of my issue, too. But, Mark, any interesting stories?
Well, should I keep on going with the Google Glass stuff?
Yeah,
no,
that's fine. Yeah, because I think that's a hot topic, and
Google,
we're not talking.
Google is working on fashion. Google is working on how you'd fasten the Google Glass to your regular glasses.
Sorry. We interrupt this program for annoying sounds.
Right. So, anyway, Google's working on ways to incorporate the glass with. Regular glasses that people have to wear.
Yeah, prescriptions.
And also how to make them more stylish.
Right. That is one question that people have asked that Google officially answered recently, which was, will you offer prescription lenses in your Google Glass? And the answer is yes, which is kind of cool. So anyway.
What's the other one there?
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Yeah, that's what I have for
great.
Google.
Sure. I'd like to talk about something in medicine that the whole world has been waiting for.
Okay.
It's not really a cure, but You might have seen the news about the baby who apparently was quote-unquote cured of HIV by getting intravirals or whatever they're called after being born.
The doctor overloaded the child with, like, AIDS medicines or something like that.
But did he have it in the first place?
HIV.
Maybe he didn't pick it up.
Yes, he did.
Well, wait, so the mother had it, right? And so as the baby was born... They didn't know if the child had it or not, but the doctor didn't take any chances and didn't wait.
So maybe what the doctor did didn't do any good and the child just didn't have it then.
Well, right? The chances were particularly high from what I read.
It's kind of hard to get a control group for that.
Right.
That the child, most of the time...
No, but it doesn't matter how hard it is to get the control group. If you need it and you don't have it, then you don't know the science.
Oh, I'm in agreement. I was just being a sarcastic bastard.
Well, they were saying that in most cases in this place, in Africa, when a mother has HIV, nine times out of ten, they pass it on to the child.
Okay. Actually, not quite nine times out of ten.
Well,
it's more 50-50.
I use that randomly to describe everything because it sounds really awesome.
But the point of this article is that not only is this child apparently cured, unquote, which is probably the wrong verbiage to use, but... On Earth, there are about 10 other people who have been living without taking the drugs to fight the disease for between 7 and 10 years.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily a cure, but what they're saying is some people, if given dose early, can live without drugs for decades at a time.
But this is because there's an assumption that everyone will die from it, and maybe that assumption is wrong, because every other plague we've ever had in mankind... It sweeps through and kills half the people, but half of them don't die just because they're somehow naturally immune to it.
And we have seen at least one case of a woman in, I'm not sure if it was Ethiopia or somewhere in Africa, who was apparently born with immunity. But I haven't verified that, but I do agree with you, but I'm not saying that we should let half the world die.
Sure. No, but I'm saying I've always been very skeptical about this claim that absolutely everyone will die without these drugs, and how do you possibly know that? And that's definitely not true with any previous diseases, so why would you imagine that?
What's also interesting is that as a society...
I don't think they're claiming that. I think they're just trying to save lives.
Yeah. I've seen that claim before.
Over time, it's also possible that our immune systems adapt.
Sure.
And so, although, you know, when AIDS was first discovered, people were susceptible to it, there's also the possibility that over time... We're becoming more and more immune to these things, or our bodies are changing to be able to fight this a little bit more?
Yeah. I don't think so. No? I think it was random in the case of the person who actually was born with an immunity.
Okay.
Right.
For other diseases, it has to wipe out a huge percentage of the population for that gene to be selected as the new progenitor.
Right.
Isn't there an animal, though, that is also... They're talking about trying to figure out what they can borrow DNA-wise from another animal that is immune to HIV?
It's possible.
I think there might be some, like a frog or something.
Well, there are some species of primate that are immune to monkey AIDS, as it were, from other species, but I'm not sure how it works. But I think my point is, since AIDS has affected... a much smaller percentage of the population than the Black Plague, for example.
Right.
Or maybe even malaria. I mean, large amounts of the African-American population and African population of the world have sickle cells, which do have a lower incidence of dying from malaria. So that seems to me, because of the area where that genetic mutation happened, was probably due to malaria or other... mosquito blood-related diseases. But that's just hyperbole.
No, it's not.
Conjecture.
Your concern.
Right.
All right, interesting.
Yeah. Sarcastic bastard wants the whole half of the world to die.
No.
Just for scientific
No, I'm just saying,
fact.
I just don't like the assumption that everyone will die, and if you find someone who didn't...
No, I agree with you that that assumption is wrong, because there are enough humans that, because of the billions of us, the likelihood that all of us have that particular weakness is very low.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
His name is no longer Mark Burnet.
Sarcastic bastard. Sorry, genocidal sarcastic bastard.
Genocidal?
Sure.
That sounds like a ginger ale. All right. What's the best RSS reader not named Google Reader?
Library card?
Net Newswire, maybe Feedly? Or should we all just ditch RSS and go with Twitter?
Right.
Don't go with Twitter, please.
Now, the problem is you don't get complete feeds that way.
Right.
Now, Twitter, at least to me, Twitter's something you... I'm bored, so I'll look at about 100 tweets randomly.
Right.
But I don't look at every single tweet.
Okay.
So I'd miss all kinds of stuff. Whereas an RSS reader gives you a chance.
Most human thought is more complex than 144 characters.
Yeah. Right.
I have a desktop app that's actually pretty sophisticated. There's a bunch of desktop apps that are really cool for RSS feeds.
Sure.
Anyway, we're boring the audience with that particular topic. We already talked about Google having a prescription solution for Google Glass.
Right. I have Chromebook news.
Oh, okay.
In two different ways. First of all, Acer right now has the cheapest Chromebook at $200.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, there's the Samsung very nice one for $249.
Right.
Then Acer has one for $200, but it has a hard drive rather than an SSD.
Okay.
Which is weird for a Chromebook.
To make it cheaper?
Yeah, to make it cheaper. But Chromebooks usually only have a 16 gig SSD, so it's not that much. But
it's not a bad way to go if you want to lower the price of it.
Except there's really nothing to... You don't need that kind of space offline on a Chromebook is a thing, so 16 gig is kind of enough. Anyway, so Acer upgraded their memory and their battery life, and they have a new model for 280 that still has a hard drive, but it's a little bit more expensive than the Samsung one. But the Acer one uses real Intel chips rather than the ARM chips, so it can maybe run more Chrome software.
Okay.
Can I raise a question when you're done with your story that's related to this?
Sure.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Go ahead, ask.
Okay. I have another
For
story.
About 12 years, 15 years, I've seen everything merging towards one handheld device.
Okay.
As I've discussed with Wes before, at least.
Okay.
To me, it seems like when you take out your iPhone or your Razer Max or whatever,
right.
If you could unfold that
yes, that'd be nice.
Into something twice as wide or twice the size and have a minimal screen separation, to me, that's the ultimate device.
Or they're making cylindrical ones. You unroll it or slide it out or something.
Well, whatever Corning, it happens to be.
Well, Corning is working on the flexible glass, and they're very close to having something that's actually usable.
We were promised a long time ago, but the technology, I think within a couple of years, is going to be there. So the question is, since even Apple has bitten the smaller size bullet and made the Mac Mini, the iPad Mini.
Right.
I do see, the Samsung Galaxy 3 and the Samsung Note kind of merging with the smaller tablets that are out there. Not necessarily a phablet, because I hate that word.
Right. Yeah.
But because I've seen a long time ago, that's the direction things were going, and then the iPad came out, and then the touchscreen laptops. It's like, it does seem to be going to one device.
Right.
And the only reason that I was pushing that idea as the one that would be right is because I want it to be called right. No, it was because humans are humans. They want something that they can hold in their hand.
Right.
And put in their pocket.
Okay, right. I'm just trying to think about, do I agree with that, though?
That's the question I'm bringing up. Oh. What do you guys think?
But the other thing that's happening is that it's like 7 and 8-inch tablets are starting to have full-blown cellular modems where you can actually make a phone call with them.
Right, and that's part of the synergy that I'm talking about.
I think all of
so
this...
So that, you leave it in your pocket and use a Bluetooth headset to make the phone calls or something.
True enough.
Is a solution.
But it's still a little bit too big for a pocket.
That's true.
I think all of this is an experiment.
And too big for a hand.
I think all of this is is an experiment on the part of everyone involved to figure out what a mobile computing device will look like, or what the ultimate mobile computing device is.
I think that was
is.
Answered when the iPhone came out.
I don't think so, because I think the ultimate portable computer is something that is modular, and it does not have a specific screen size. My theory is it's something you carry with you, but it comes with accoutrements that you can leave all over the place or carry with you.
This actually does merge into the previous story about Google Glass.
Yeah, because
some people would say that's the way things are going to go.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that might be right.
I just I, I think that those are accessories to the device, and I think we're going to see more and more things like that, where it's not a specific thing like glasses or a phone.
Or
it's gonna
it might just be a projector that comes out of your tie, and you just stand in front of a wall.
It's
going to
be like a brick or a block that
or something.
That maybe has something like Bluetooth, and you just decide how you want to work with it. Like you have a keyboard, you have glasses, you have earbuds, you have what have you, heart rate monitors, and the device itself is physically sort of dumb.
Right.
Well, I bring into this argument the typewriter and the keyboard that goes with it, okay? That technology has taken a long, long time to go away. Okay. We're still left with the remnant of the QWERTY keyboard.
Right.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And to me, the phone, the cell phone that you can hold in your hand and have like a lizard brain level attachment to. Holding on to it.
Right. Sure.
And also just the fact that for so long people held up phones to their ear. I mean, it's almost like a muscle-based
love of a certain kind
of technology.
Yeah, right. It's what's comfortable. That's why
I don't think glasses are going to be the way it goes, but I do think that that's going to be a significant portion of the devices that we eventually become one with.
Well, I'll give you an example of where this is already starting to happen. My idea is in the wearable computing devices.
I would agree with
that. We're having like watches that use Bluetooth to communicate with your phone.
Right.
That I believe is going to morph into many more types of devices as soon as, I don't think it's going to be Bluetooth. It might be like Bluetooth 15 or something like that, but it's going to be a wireless communication that is so fast and easy to use and to connect with this remote or mobile computer.
Sure.
That it won't matter. You can decide, oh, I've got a watch, I've got glasses, I've got a phone, but they're all going to be connected to this thing.
But the point of the glasses is that you make a virtual screen as big as you want.
Right.
It's not a little tiny little watch face you have to look at.
Right.
And like that's why I think the glasses are a great way to go.
But that's still an input, though. That's still just an input device, right?
It's not necessarily.
Yeah.
Because if your eye can be what the Google glasses track, you don't have to type anything. And if you have an earpiece built into the glasses, it's a fully contained system.
Right, but the computer is in the glasses, and there's limits to the size. Whereas if it were to compute...
If there's been anything that hasn't been a limit, it's been compactness.
Right?
I think that mobile phones, as powerful as they are, still don't equal desktop computing. Or...
I think you're wrong about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Although it's really a matter of software issues and how small
the
screen is and stuff.
Yeah. How big is the main processor chip in your desktop computer?
My i7?
It would fit in your phone.
Really? I can't get a phone with an i7 right now.
But you will be able to eventually.
Maybe. Yeah.
But my point is, chips are getting so small, storage is getting so small, it's going to fit in a pair of glasses, no doubt.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Along with a camera, along with an earpiece, along with a wireless antenna.
Yeah.
Everything is getting that small. We probably already have it with spy technology.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But there will be inconsistencies in the glass. Like, there will be things you'll want to do in the glass.
I don't want to get too detailed. Right. I just want to see what you guys think about.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In the future, I truly think that we are going to merge with the technology that we're making.
Sure.
I think there will be one device. I think there will be one kind of device.
I don't think there's going to be one, but I think we're just going to be part biotic, bionic rather.
Okay.
So eventually that one device will become us.
Sure. We'll just be merged with it.
So you'll have an Apple burned in the back of your head?
RS-232 ports on the side of our heads? No.
But if you have the Apple brand of implant, then you have an Apple
They've already grafted computers to people's brains.
Right.
It's happening.
Yeah, what was that article that I read, though, about... something about somebody being able to get some piece of information from a computer. I won't say anything about this because I've read it briefly, but it falls in line with the last article, the last show that we did, Mark, where we were talking about how two mice in a maze share ideas.
Right.
Over
TCP/IP.
They
were actually in different parts of the world.
Right.
I thought they were just in different parts of the maze.
Different parts of the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there was some way that
they
were...
That was part of the experiment.
They were able to actually like share over TCP/IP, over the internet.
It was much more direct than that. It was pure mind share.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first one did the maze, and then the other mouse, over thousands of miles, but with the same input, was able to do the maze without... quote, learning it by doing it.
Right.
Learned it from the memory of the other mouse.
Kind of scary, kind of weird.
Way scary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But the point that I'm trying to make is, I wasn't clear. I've been around on the Earth long enough to know that when humans have a technology that they really adopt, there are certain plateaus that it goes through.
Right.
Walkman.
Right.
Right? Yeah. iPod.
Okay.
iPhone.
Okay.
Google Glass might be one of them.
Okay.
Computer brain interfaces might be another where, like, so, right now another example of this is a robotic hand that you can control with your brain waves. Okay?
Right. Okay.
So the question is, if there's one plateau left before it becomes inside of us, what do you think it will be? Will it be a phone, like I said, that unfolds to a tablet-sized thing you can type on but still put in your pocket and still hold on to like a phone? Yeah. Will it be glasses? Will it be both? What do you think?
Yeah, the pocket-sized thing that unfolds probably.
Or unrolls, like you said.
Yeah, that can be made properly.
I'm still going.
You wear in as a projector that you interact with.
Project on what, though?
I'm still going with my block that you interact with.
But that's not too far away, because wearing glasses or holding a device that then is wirelessly connected to a larger device.
All your data that you care about, you're going to carry with you in this device, and you'll choose the options that you want that interact with that.
Or
with
maybe
that
very soon, literally carry with you.
Right.
Inside your body as an SSD card or something.
Yeah, maybe at some point. But I think the step to that is having this one universal device that you just take with you and all your information.
I've been seeing that
there.
Merging of technologies for years.
Yeah.
I've tried to get it across to people.
What I don't like and don't quite fully understand is the whole cloud computing fad, which kind of goes away from what we're talking about. If you're storing more and more of your personal information and things you want to share.
There's been a pull back and forth.
If you're always online, what would be wrong with that?
But there's been a pull back and forth about that since the first mainframe computer.
Yeah. Right.
There's a terminal, there's a mainframe. Then we pulled away from that and we had personal computers. Now we're going back to that with thin clients.
Right.
I mean,
nothing's wrong with that per se, except
somebody else controls your data.
Well, except all your information exists somewhere else, yeah.
Right.
To me, that's a huge privacy thing.
If anything goes wrong, then you lose it all or something. Yeah.
Right.
Where's your backup?
And I'm too old school to be comfortable with cloud computing.
I don't think that's old school. I think this is wise.
Yeah.
What if the government ran it? Then you'd be comfortable with it.
Of course.
The people that have been saying, I don't want to do that, have been proven right because of people getting their information hacked, losing it entirely.
Right.
And it is like Facebook not caring one whit about your privacy, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a big battle over the next couple decades.
Yeah.
But I think it will eventually solve itself because the storage will be so small that you will be able to carry it yourself, and the interconnectedness of the data will be the cloud.
Right.
You'll be part of the cloud.
Yeah. Speaking of, did you ever find the RFID that exists somewhere in the cardboard of the Nespresso sleeve?
I looked a little bit. And I wasn't. Of course, for all we know, maybe they only exist if you buy them out of the vault. Maybe they don't put them in ordinary sleeves.
No, because I think they probably so what we're talking about is when you go to Nespresso to the store and they have these fancy machines there that you go up to this wall and you pull the sleeve out that you want of the flavor of coffee that you like and you go over to this little pit that's computer controlled, you drop them in a bag into the pit, and then based on an RFID chip that's somewhere in the cardboard of the sleeve, the actual point of sale system figures out what it is that you're purchasing and presents you with the total cost.
Are whatever they're called, are they printed and then you get it, or they're just there and you pick one and it gets encoded?
Just there, you pick them, and then you put the sleeves in a bag.
Encoded.
You put the bag into a box, and that's it.
And the store admitted it was an RFID tags.
So
is it possible that there's some kind of
a barcode on the thing that gets assigned to
something? No, she admitted it was RFID tags.
Okay. They can be very small.
Yeah, I know.
As you know, circuits can be printed on paper just with the right kind of ink.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
who's to say?
There's no scanner per se.
Right.
You're basically just putting them in any way, any combination you want into a bag, and then you put the bag into this little bucket.
Is it a cardboard collar?
It's a sleeve about this big.
Yes,
it's a square full of pods.
Box.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in there.
In the religion, we call it a sleeve instead of calling
it
a box.
Right, but it's probably protected by something smooth, so you can't really feel where it is.
So Mark and I were trying to figure out like where the rice grain exists in the cardboard.
I forgot all about that. I looked once, but I never went back and looked again.
I kind of think it might be in the N, in
doesn't
the Nespresso
some,
symbol.
Doesn't some actual dollar bills have RFID tags
on
them?
Not in the United States, I don't think, but...
Maybe on larger bills, I don't know.
You know where there might be RFIDs are in passports. You know, there's like electronics.
They do have those now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know there's like electronics
but
in the actual
everything
cardboard.
Since, I think, 2006, wasn't it?
I forget.
Huh.
That's why I haven't gotten my passport renewed.
Okay. But it's conceivable an espresso only does it in the special boxes that they have in the vault. So I never looked at a box that came out of the vault, so I don't necessarily
I think I need to get going pretty soon, so I think we should wrap up.
Okay.
All right. We have nine more minutes, but...
That's niner more minutes. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
We have niner more minutes.
So I have two more...
However, we'll shuffle it along as...
And I do have one story about gases in the atmosphere of Titan. Okay. It might be farts.
Is that better than the Google stories?
I think that was my story. I think that's all I have to say. Go ahead and do your stuff.
Okay. Because the Andy Rubin, the developer of Android and the guy in Google who's always been in charge of Android...
Right.
He's stepping down.
He's stepping down, and the one who's going to take his place for Android is the guy who did Chromebooks and stuff like that, so it's kind of weird what that's all going to mean. And also, Andy Rubin didn't say he was resigning from Google. It sounded like he's going to do something else at Google, but nobody knows what yet.
Okay.
And nobody knows why this is happening or anything.
All right.
So
I'm almost done with my book. I'm reading Atari Business is Fun.
Okay.
It's a massive, massive tome of a book, but it's apparently a Kickstarter project, which I did not know.
Huh. It actually got released?
What's that?
It actually came out?
Yeah, it came out.
Okay.
There was no Kindle book, Kindle version of it, so I had to carry this massive tome with me wherever I went when I was reading it, but I'm almost done.
Okay.
And it is actually really well written. We talked about this on previous shows.
Right.
After that, I'm going to go ahead and read the Exploding the Phone.
Okay.
Which is something that...
That's really good, yeah.
That's a good one.
And it mentions me.
And it mentions me. It mentions you. There's the Victorian Internet is the other one that I think I'll read after
that. Oh, that doesn't mention me, though. So.
No, it doesn't. It's not as fun.
Yeah.
But I am interested in very, very old technology and how it pertains to new stuff. So.
Sure. Yeah, it's very good for that, yeah.
So that'll be cool.
Okay. You have another Chromebook story.
Okay.
Kind of. I just found out Hewlett-Packard last year, you know what the Chromebox is?
Yeah,
it's like a Chromebook, but a little desktop thing.
Right.
That you plug in a monitor and a keyboard and stuff.
Which kind of goes against why the Chromebook was created in the first place.
Well, at least it's... No, but the Chromebox is like the same concept.
Yeah, but you're never going to move
break,
that
thing. You're never going to get viruses. Yeah,
you're never going to move it, though, and it's always going to connect to the cloud.
Yes.
Which is kind of...
But at least you can give it to your grandparents. They could use it. It's not going to break down.
All right.
It updates itself and all that.
Okay.
Well, Hewlett-Packard last year came out with a clone of that I never even heard of. They came out with a product they called the Hewlett-Packard came out with a thing called the Passport Internet Monitor.
That's weird.
That's just it looks just like a monitor and you plug a keyboard and a mouse into it.
Uh-huh.
But it has a Firefox browser built version of Linux and a Firefox browser built in.
Okay.
So that's all it does. You can't control it, you can't do anything with it. So they kind of intended it for hotel lobbies or you know, very public places where you wanted to give internet access.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But not be hackable or anything.
Okay.
So I think those are dying because I never heard of them before, but all of a sudden they're being sold off cheap for about $120.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. But I think that means it's dying, I guess. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But it'd be an interesting machine to give to your grandparents or something.
Okay.
The trouble is the resolution's not very good. It's like an 18-inch screen, but the resolution is typical of a 13-inch laptop, so it's going to be kind of blocky and not
okay.
good.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show.
Thank you so much.
But I haven't done my craps yet.
We have to postpone it.
That's probably good. That was grade A bullshit.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right, so remember to come join us on our site at slurpcast.com. We invite you to actually participate.
Right.
So it's slurpcast.com. Click the comments, add a comment.
Right. But it has to be spam. Or we'd be so shocked if you actually left a real comment.
Well, there is a moment of confusion that I go through when I'm deleting spam because sometimes it's written so well that it's hard to tell that it's spam.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.